Sang for everything that happened earlier. You know, when Sang talking about superheroes, since it's Father's Day, I must tell you at least one dad jokes. Who is Martha, Batman or Superman? Batman. If you're going to wear your underwear on the outside, at least learn how to cover your face. Well, just want to wish all fathers once again Happy Father's Day. And Joanne and I really praise for all our families here, especially fathers, because fathers, I think as we all know, sometimes we do struggle being good fathers. But I only can tell you, learn to be a good son to our Heavenly Father. You'll be the best father to your children. Because unless we learn sonship, unless we learn how to be loved by our Father, how to receive our Father, we will find a big struggle to love people around us, especially our children. Our Father have no false expectation of us. Amen? So when we know how much we are loved by Him, we have no false expectation of our children. In fact, we become so loving to them that we call their future into being. That's why Proverbs says, train your child in the way he or she should go. Because your child's life is directed by the path of the Lord. And what you need to do is help them to hear God's voice as young as possible. And when they hear God's voice, I'm telling you, they will never depart from it. Because I know most of us as parents, especially, we are fearful once our kids hit so-called high school or even uni age or young adult, they will depart from the faith. The thing is this, if we teach them to know the Father's love, as we know our Father's love, as we receive, we give to them, amen, their life will never be the same again. So really, you know, we need to honor so-called what God is doing. And the Bible says, honor your fathers and mothers and that your days will be long. I think for some of us, we want to honor our parents, but they may no longer be with us. But some of us may struggle really to honor our fathers because we may have difficult relationship with them growing up. But even if you struggle with honoring your father, I just want all of us as believers to honor the position of fatherhood. To honor that position. And once we learn to honor that position, something great will happen. And the next thing I just want to also encourage everybody is this, is that as fathers, take today's opportunity. You know, if you have family gathering or time together, lay hands on your children rightly. Huh? Lay hands. Lay hands and bless them. Bless. If you have grandchildren, bless your grandchildren. Speak to them. A blessing is like a will given to you, to your favor. All of us want to have a rich relative, so they give us a will to our favor. Amen? When we bless, when the Father bless us, it is His will for us, bestowed on us to enjoy His favor. So when you as a father, when you bless your children, your children's children, you are giving them the will, not just of your heart, but the will revealed to you by the Spirit, that the days of your children, the days of your children's children, will be good, fruitful, and mighty. Amen? Anyway, this is not my sermon today, but I just felt since Father's Day, since I started with a bad dad joke, I better compensate with some good revelation. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at chapter 16 to 18, but we're not going to the full chapter, but I guess all you should be reading Acts by now, at least one time through. If you have not, at least start to read it and just to gain a good perspective. And today's my sermon title is Open Doors, Open Doors. And it's important to live life with understanding of open doors. And always know that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is always opening doors for us to go forward to do His will. Amen? God is always opening doors for you and I so that we can go forward to do His will. And it's important for us to recognize these open doors and step into them. Some say that, you know, the step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Right, and Psalm 37 itself says that God delights us how we live our life, and He will order our steps so that we will live a victorious life. Amen. So even you have a misstep, that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse 23. Even if you misstep, even you stumble and fall badly, the Lord's hand is there to help you up. Amen. If God wants you to go this way, And that is where I always believe with God, it is always plan A. Even you make the worst decision in your life, then you say, okay, I'm going to live with that bad decision. Then life from that point on is going to be plan B. I disagree. Because with the Father, it is always plan A. Amen? So even if you walk according to plan A and you have a misstep, you stumble, you make wrong decision, most of us will spend our life crying over the missed opportunity of yesterday when we have in our hand today the opportunity of tomorrow. So even I have a misstep, walking according to plan A, I miss the cue, I make a wrong decision. Most of the time, I'll beat myself up. But do you know what the Lord is doing? According to Psalm 37, He's still helping us. Even though you fall, He says He will hold you by His mighty hand. If you come next to me, you fall on my right hand, I can't hold you. Frozen shoulder. You're on your own. But if you fall next to God, His mighty hand will uphold you. Amen. Are we not encouraged by the very word of God telling us all this? So with God, it is always plan A. There's no plan B or second best life. You are living your best life now because you believe you are a son or a daughter of the Father. So don't cry about yesterday missed opportunity when you have in your hand today the opportunity of tomorrow. So let us look at Paul's second missionary journey. If you look at Acts, next slide please. You realize there is three, Paul had three major missionary journey, right? The first happened in Acts chapter 13 to Acts chapter 14. The first time he went with Barnabas. Remember that? In chapter 15, Chandra was sharing with us last week, there was a great conflict. And so Paul and Barnabas separate their ways of ministry, and Paul recruited Silas to join him. And so today we are looking at the second missionary journey from chapter 15, verse 36 to chapter 18, 22. And then the third missionary journey, which we won't talk about today, but next time, will be on Acts chapter 22 to 21, verse 17. I want us to imagine for a moment that our life is like Paul in many ways. See your life not just about fulfilling your dreams or reaching to your ambition or rejoicing over your accomplishment. Can you learn to see your life as a missionary journey? Then your ambition, your dreams, your accomplishment is part of the missionary journey. But that missionary journey is for you to live your life to the fullest. And so from chapter 15, verse 36 to chapter 18, there are five things I want to share with you about open doors. First is this, living a life on mission for God and His kingdom. Living a life on mission for God and His kingdom. Let us look at chapter 16, verse 1 to 5. It says here, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decision that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increase in number daily. Paul lives his life on a mission. Even though he wanted to go on this trip with Barnabas, there was a sharp disagreement. They never talked again for many years, but thank be to God, later they did reconcile. But for the season, even Paul was upset or angry or whatever, they missed the cue. Remember, God called Barnabas and Paul together, but Paul didn't call them to separate their ways. But remember, with God, it is always plan A. And so Paul knew his life was still on mission for God and the kingdom. And along the way, as they traveled through those cities, they came across this guy called Timothy. And Timothy was a very sad story because although his mother was a Jew, his father is a Greek or a Gentile. And as far as a Jewish community is concerned, he is not accepted among them. He's seen as an outsider. In fact, they have a word called in Hebrew called manza. And manza means you are neither so-called an illegitimate child or neither you are really existing. In fact, to the community, you are a ghost. Imagine Timothy growing up in a community of all these Jewish people, but he was never welcome to eat with them. He was never welcome to fellowship with them. He was never welcome in any Jewish festivity because of his father was a Greek and no one wanted to circumcise him. But Paul saw in this guy a believer. He came alongside and became a spiritual father to this spiritual son. That's why what Paul wrote about Timothy later, that Timothy is like a son everybody loves to have. And how he served Paul with so much grace that whatever Paul teaches, Timothy teaches the same. And so Paul professionally was also a Pharisee. And so he could circumcise Timothy and say that Timothy is like a son to me. I'm the one who so-called arranged for his circumcision. And remind ourselves, Paul did not circumcise Timothy to get Timothy saved. But Paul circumcised Timothy because the community do not know how to deal with Timothy. By circumcising Timothy, he is saying to all the Jewish people, he is as Jewish like the rest of you. And that was important because they knew as they delivered the decision of Acts 15 of the church of Jerusalem to all the people, they need to go to all the Jewish houses. You get what I mean? All the fellowship. And so here was Timothy welcomed into the presence of his own Jewish people because of Paul. How wonderful it is in our life. If you are Timothy, always pray you have a Paul in your life who acts like a father to you to help you to have an open door. Amen? So Paul opened doors for Timothy that were once closed. And then these three men went along the way. And then what happens is this. This is my second point. Allow God to direct and redirect your life in accordance to his will and purpose. Allow God to direct and redirect your life in accordance to his will and purpose. We used to sing this old hymn, like, have thy own way, Lord. Like some of us know that. If you're born before 1965, I'm sorry. We used to sing this, have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. After that, we drive our own way up. Or we sing all to Jesus, I surrender for 15 times. After that, we live our own life. You get what I'm saying? If we want to live our life in accordance to God's purpose and will, we must let God direct and redirect our path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and not through your understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. I was like that. That's my life verse. Even if the road is crooked, if you acknowledge you are in God's hand and with God is always plan A, even the crooked path will become straight by God, make straightened by God. And so here was this situation. Verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so this is what happened was this. Paul wanted to go to Asia, and Asia is somewhere near Turkey and towards so-called that part where towards Persia, that area. But then you have also a situation here. Paul was not stopped once, but he was stopped twice by the Spirit of Jesus and the Holy Spirit from going to Asia. And for Paul, he will be affected. Lord, didn't you call me to preach the gospel? I've done what I could with this area. I'm going to plant new churches out there. But every time he tried to get there, the Spirit stopped him. Now, Luke didn't tell us how specifically he was stopped by the Holy Spirit, but they knew they were stopped by the Spirit. And then there was a vision, and through that vision, he saw a man from Macedonia, and Macedonia somewhere in Greece. And most likely, this guy was wearing some Greek kind of clothing that he can understand that this is not Asian, this is from Macedonia. Come and help us. And Paul knew they were called to go to Macedonia. And what was interesting, immediately you see in verse 10, and Paul has seen the vision immediately. We means Luke, was now invited to join into the gang as well. So here you have Paul, you have Silas, you have Timothy, you have Luke, who came alongside. Somehow they knew God was calling them to Macedonia. The question is this, or the challenge for us to always bear in mind. God can direct you, God can redirect you. But in the midst of the direction and redirection, the door that God opens will never contradict His word, nor will He open a door that will require a personal compromise of your faith or disobedience to His word. So how do I know this is an open door? Or when God redirected my life, it will never contradict His word. It will never tell me to go against the scripture. It will never tell me to have personal compromising of my faith. Right, so here I can tell you my own personal story, how the Lord led Joanne, myself, Amanda and Ned to leave Singapore to go to New Zealand. And then when we reached New Zealand, we have such a glorious time there. I wasn't a pastor. Every Sunday, I learned the habit to be a pew warmer, and I learned it quite well, you know. And after 3 years, I said, wow, I'm enjoying not being a pastor. I'm sitting on Sunday just receiving. Oh, yeah, the song not too bad. Oh, preaching not so good. Okay. I know you guys don't do that. I'm carnal in those days, right? But here I was, you know. And I felt, wow, this is a good place. We need to stay here. And we went to look for a place. And every time we looked for a place, somehow there was no release. There was no, say, God said, this is the place for you. And this is the same feeling Joanne and I had years earlier when we, before we were married, we were singers, we all wanted to become missionaries. And when we got married, we were exploring places like Thailand, Malaysia, Cambodia. Every time people were left, right, center, say, oh, God's calling me to this country, God's calling me to that land, we never felt we were called. Even though we've been to these places, we see the need, but we never felt the release. And lo and behold, finally, 10 years later, God calls us to step into New Zealand. And there, in New Zealand, I thought, that's it. I'm going to buy my house. I'm going to have a good time there. God said, pack your bag and come to Australia and of all city, Perth. But even live your life according to the plan of God, you must let God direct and redirect your path. As long as it doesn't contradict His word, it doesn't make you to compromise your faith or make you do things against scripture. See, when God leads, right, we must begin to bear in mind that sometimes, you know, we try to justify an open door where you know it's not God. Sometimes you think there's an open door, but you're going to compromise your faith. Paul knew he was called to Macedonia. He knew immediately where he was stopped twice by the Spirit, but where he saw the vision of that man, come and help us, he went. And open doors will always be accompanied by confirmation. So here we were, before we left to go from Singapore to New Zealand, there were friends who were our prayer intercessors. They pray and say, yep, the Lord is calling you to go there. And when we were there, we were praying and thinking what to do next. And then the Lord says, go and pack your bags and come to Perth. There we have our prayer group. They were praying for us. Yes, the Lord is asking you to go there. And the Lord made way. It was impossible. So I can tell you, no, long story cut short was, I need to apply for a work visa here. I was told I needed to wait for 9 months before I can get the visa. But the Lord hand stepped in, I got that less in 1 month. Hallelujah. You look so sad. That's why I call you a pastor, right? If not, I'll be still languishing somewhere in, you know, the beautiful land of New Zealand. Now, okay, anyway. Now, the reverse also is important. If there is a closed door in your life, closed doors are announcement of your open doors. See, when I see an open door, I know God wants me to go through it. But if there's a closed door, don't cry. You were hoping for a promotion. You're hoping to get a job. You're hoping for something to happen. The door was closed. You start to cry. No, you start to rejoice. Because that closed door is an announcement of another open door. Amen? You know, and sometimes you cry, oh God, why do you close that door? I'll tell you why God closed that door. He loves you so much that He values who you are, that He knows if you go through this door, you will never fulfill the potential of your life. But when you trust Him to lead you, He opened the door, what Jesus says, that no man can close. Every open door is for you to grow into the fullness of who you are in Christ. Every closed door means God loves you so much. He knows that you will never be valued or your worth as who you are in His Son will never be mature to produce the fruit that's needed. And so when He closed that door, rejoice, because an open door is coming somewhere along the way. And this is what God is always trying to do. Many times, a closed door from God is one that allows our faith to be stretched and strengthened. God is not taking something away from us if there's a closed door. In fact, God is going to give something into us, but He needs to strengthen our faith. He needs to stretch our faith, because God has only one plan, and that plan is what? Plan A. Say to your neighbor, plan A. What is plan A? Plan A is God's objective for us to grow in faith and also in Christ-likeness. Amen? Now, next thing is this. Expect divine appointments and alliances. How many like divine appointments? Alliances. All right, don't look for enemies. Look for alliances. Look at verse 11 and 15. So, setting sail from Troas, we make a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remain in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods and a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So immediately Paul saw the vision. Next day they bought their cruise ticket. They set sail towards Philippi. And then the first thing they went was to go to the riverside. Why rivers? Because most time, okay, people do their washing there. And the river is a good place because you know what's happening. Because people are talking about what's happening. You hear the local gossip. You hear things are happening there. But there, the first person Paul met was this woman called Lydia. She was very rich. She dealt with purple goods. And those days, the color purple was a very expensive color. They used a certain kind of worms to squeeze up the juice on that worm. And they had to kill about 100,000 of these so-called worms from the seashell in order to extract enough just to make 1 meter of purple cloth. And she is wealthy. And she is from Thyatira. And where is Thyatira? Somewhere in Asia. Where was he going? Asia. Could he go to Asia? No. But when he hear God redirection, the first person that she met is an Asian woman. And this Asian woman became an alliance. He said, come, let me host you. Let me take care of you. In your life, this is something I want to encourage you. You will meet, if you will go through open doors, okay, you will meet two kinds of people in your life. Receivers and resistors. Paul later meet resistors, like the jealous Jews, people who persecute him, people who resist the gospel because it's preaching. But here was Paul. He met a receiver. And most time, this is what you and I must bear in mind. When God calls us into mission, whether overseas or whether into our community, it is always a people group. Don't get end of the day, God is calling me to country A, means you are going to occupy whole country A. No, when God calls you to China, doesn't mean you reach all the people in China. Perhaps God calls you just to reach a group of people there. When God calls you into the community, God may be just calling you just to reach out to your neighbor. Some of us are called to reach to homeless people, or we are called to reach people who are chronically sick, or people who need some kind of help because of the children's situation. Whatever it is, sometimes when God closes the door, and God always has a sense of humor, remember? Again, remember, imagine Paul. I want to go to Asia, stopped twice by the Spirit. And the first woman that I met in a non-Asian city was an Asian woman. And she hosted us. In life, this is important. Always pray that you will encounter a person of peace. Amen. If you got a new job tomorrow, pray you find a person of peace in your department. If you need something to be done in terms of your contract, in terms of legal issue, whatever things in life, always say, Lord, send me a person of peace. The person who opened doors for you. The person who knows everybody in the department. The person who knows what to do. And this is very interesting. Years ago, you know, Joanne sent me on those errands that I don't like to do. So I was supposed to go to school to pick up something for Nat. So he said, go to the office and ask for this particular document for Nat. So I went there and this lady looked at me, and before I could say anything, say, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. I only work here part-time. I only do it today as part of my work. So if you ask me anything, I can't help you because all the other office staff who knows everything else are not here, and I know nothing. So I said, oh dear. I say, my wife sent me here. Why didn't you say so in the first place? How can I help you? My dear wife became my woman of peace, opened doors for me. And suddenly she became very helpful. All I say was, my wife sent me here. Oh, you useless man, come let me help you. What can I do with all this and that? In life, how do I know God favors me? Because everywhere I go, I always meet a person of peace. How did we get here? Because I met a person of peace. And the Lord opens the door for all us to come here. Amen. In your life, to open doors or close doors, don't struggle and cry. Always say, Lord, send me a person of peace. Subsequently, if you read through, next slide is this. Expect resistance and trust God to turn a minus in your life into a plus. Right, if you look at the next text, is verse 16. When Paul began to meet this woman who began to prophesy, right? He says, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and asked, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come up from her. And she came up from her the very hour. So this woman have a spirit of divination. In fact, you read in Greek, say she has a python spirit. A snake kind of spirit, a deceiving spirit. And so what happened was, she was going around telling everybody, this guy is sent by God. Sometimes even the devil will testify about your calling. But Paul got irritated. He turned around and cast out the evil spirit. And she was actually the livelihood of some scrupulous bad people. And later Paul was thrown into prison. Open doors, you'll face resistance. But let me tell you, expect resistance because why? You are disrupting so-called the status quo. There are only two kinds of resistance in life. Behavioral resistance and systemic resistance. Behavior means people react to you because people love routine, set patterns and predictability. How many of you have been sitting on the same chair since we got here last July? Come on. No shaming here, but put out your hands. I'm going to take a picture.
You are so predictable. How can you go through open door if the door opens so big? I cannot see it.
This is called behavioral resistance. Right? If Crystal sing one more extra song, I don't like it. Too much song, one more song. Time, you know. If pastor go for 15 minutes, oh, I like it. Now, the thing is this.
There's behavioral resistance. So when you know you go through open doors, there are people who resist who you are because your life is on a mission. You are pursuing the kingdom.
But then there's also called systemic resistance, where the gospel is being resisted by society, by laws, by so-called culture. But then we must also know our gospel is always disruptive in a sense. When the power of God hits the church on Acts chapter 2, nothing stopped the church. But we can see there was resistance through persecution. Why? Because it goes against the behavior of people. It goes against the system. But God can always turn the resistance into something good. And we know how Paul and Silas end up in prison. And then they begin to worship the Lord. And there was an earthquake. And then the jailer got saved. Amen? So here we can see God can turn a minus into your life into a plus. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah. He can turn a minus into a plus. Right? Expect people to respond to the gospel differently. Some people will receive what you're going to say, like Lydia, but there are some people who's going to resist you because what you say is a threat to their lifestyle, to their culture, or to something. I'm not saying you go around being obnoxious, but you know if you live your life truly in the gospel, even the kindest deeds you do can be misread by people because they're resisting you either through their behavior or through something else. Now, this is my last point. Not every open door is from God. Not every invitation is His call. Okay, it's important. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 19 to 21. Okay, we're coming to the end to Paul's missionary journey. But before we read this text, Paul went to jail. Later, he was persecuted. And subsequently, he was even stoned. Paul actually died, but he refused to die. Through the power of resurrection of the Spirit, he came back, went to the next town and preached the gospel. He went through a lot of hard time and he fought with people. He argued and debated with the philosophers of Mars Hill. But subsequently, this came to Ephesus. In verse 19, he says, and they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, and he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a little longer, Paul said yes. No, he declined. Imagine he went through so many hard situations, tough things, all the resistance, and finally, there's a synagogue who opens up to him. Say, wow, actually, we like what you are sharing, man. Can you stay with us a bit longer? He said, no. Interesting, isn't it? But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God's will. And he set sail from Ephesus. So what is interesting here is Paul. Finally, through all his so-called this second missionary journey over 3-4 years, he finally found a group of Jews who was receptive to listen from him. They wanted him to stay. What a great invitation. What a beautiful opportunity. What an open door. But Paul says no. And it's incredible if you really read this story chronologically. It's like after being thrown out of villages, stoned to death, put in prison on the run of his life, and rejected by his own fellow Jews, rejected from synagogue to synagogue, finally he has an open door. He said no to an open invitation to continue preaching the gospel because through the Spirit we can see that Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem to accomplish something different. How do I know or discern? Not every door, not every open door is from God. Not every invitation is His call. It is to walk very closely with the Spirit. Your posture is always hearing from God. Your posture is always listening. Don't let the good get into the way of the best. Sometimes we do that. something good come along, we run with it. But that, it may not be the best. But if you hear from God, and you hear from God, and I hear many times from God, that's why I say, and they say, it's a good thing, but that's not my best thing. Say no to that, say yes to this. And sometimes the thing you say yes could actually bring you a lot of pain and heartache, a lot of challenges. But remember, with God, it's always plan A. His plan A is for you to grow in faith and to grow into Christ-likeness. My conclusion is this. If you want God to open and close doors, what do you have to do? Let go of the doorknob. Let God be the one open doors and close door. In fact, you know, when God is leading and directing, you don't have to kick the door open. Even if the door is closed, if God is behind it, He will open it. Sometimes what comes in between us and God is our own fear, our own unbelief, our own impatience. How many of you wants open door right now? Okay, just stand up where you are right now. I'm going to pray for you. Remember, open doors is not job promotion or pay increment kind of thing. Okay. It's part of it, but not all of it. Open doors is say, Lord, I'm determined to live my life on purpose for your mission and for your kingdom. And everything, God will pull in all together for you. Raise your hands, people. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers, for my sisters. I pray for every one of them. Some of them have carried heartaches and pain because they saw those closed doors. But Lord, today your word set them free. Closed door is an announcement of an open door. But Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that they will not cry over missed opportunities of yesterday. When they have in their hands today the opportunity of tomorrow. I pray, Father, for open doors that no one can shut. Because, Lord, you have caused dissatisfaction in the hearts of some people here. It is that holy frustration that they want to see their life different. They are tired of just living life the way it is. They want more. They want more of you, Lord. And so, Father, I pray, as you have done with Paul and with many others, you will do for every person today. Powerful things are going to happen. What is not possible is made possible. In the name of Jesus, in the power of His name, amen. Let us all rise and just worship the Lord.